standing in the presence of God. Well, the people of Jesus' generation didn't like him. He was a leader. If any of you are in the leadership, you're not always liked. And the more you do your job and the more you lead, the less a lot of folks going to like you. You're not called to be liked. You're called to get the job done. Well, they had decided that they were truly going to get rid of Jesus. I mean, he's disrupting everything. He's come in and he has declared that he is God incarnate, and he messed up all of their little social circles. We got to get rid of him. So they put him on the cross this past Friday. We call Good Friday. Good for us, bad for those who don't believe. Bad for Satan. They put him on the cross. Then they cheered. That Friday, they were cheering at the cross. But they messed up. You see, they had forgotten. It was only Friday. Sunday's the coming. You know, on those bad days, I've never had one like the Friday Jesus had. But you know, you have those bad Fridays in our life. And I get to thinking, but Sunday's coming. And it always comes. Even though there seems like the weight of the world is choking you, holding you down. Hope is present always because of that cross. Because of the one who was on that cross. And the Lord looks down and he sees the world. And he sees the world with all the evil which is within. And in order to go against the world and the evil, he sends ultimate love, hope, brightness. See, it wasn't that Jesus shined as white as the snow. The actual translation is as bright as the light, for he is light. He penetrates to the very depth of my whole being, of your being. He looks to the really what is hurting you. You and I are human beings, and we look to our life and we say, this is my problem, this is my problem. We work on those and we seem to still have the problems. Well, Jesus says, I'm going straight to the problem. Boy, does he have light. As he looks down to the depth of me, he sees the broken parts. He sees the broken chips in the brain. He sees the brokenness in my spirit. He feels and sees the hurt of the scars of life. All those scars are so great. Not the scars of combat with the world, those physical scars that we have on our bodies. But he looks to the depth and sees the scars that really matter. The scars that are deep within us. It eat away at our spirit and at our inner self. The ones that cause the nightmares. All the outward ones do is cause the physical pain. But those scars on the inside, they hurt past the bone, right straight to my inner being of who I really am. And he said, I didn't come to play games. I came to fulfill a commitment I made to you. I came to fulfill my commitment of love. I love you. And I'm going to love you whether you act like you love me or not. My love for you does not depend on your love for me. Well, I'm thankful for that one, aren't you? This human condition's a mess. But the Lord said, I want to answer some questions for you. I want to do this. I'm going to do a couple of resurrection questions this morning. These questions I want us to look at, and I want us to understand as he answers them. Question number one. What does the resurrection mean? What does it mean? Well, first of all, we need to understand that Jesus is who he claimed to be. That's what it means. When a person tells you, okay, the Lord has led me to you to tell you this, and if he slaps you up on the head and says, be healed, give him a couple of seconds, because if you ain't healed, the Lord didn't send him, so you're free to teach him not to do that again. You got that? The Lord says, if it is a prophet, the prophet doesn't need two or three times to give you a prophecy. If I send him, he gets it right the first time. And Jesus said, I want you to know something. I want you to know the meaning of Resurrection Sunday. I want you to know the meaning for your individual life. John 11:25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live. Not, you know, Jesus was never wishy-washy. You believe in me, you will live. I got it. So what's our problem? Knowing that I'm going to live for eternity with him, why don't I get about my Father's business? Even though he dies or leaves this body, you really think that that's a bad time in your life when you leave a body that hurts with the cancer, the pain, the struggles that you go through in that physical condition? Now, let me tell you the sad part. If I didn't know Jesus, I want to stay with the pain of this physical body. But I happen to know him. But you see, I can't be a sissy right now. I got a job to do. I got a ministry to preach and to teach. Therefore, quit whining, Vance. Preach my word. You can come home later. So I'll hurt with the rest of you. And we'll conquer cancer one at a time. I love that. I love fighting cancer. I love fighting. Maybe I just love the fight. I don't know. But I sure do love the winning. Because now I know I'm a winner every time. I can't lose. I know Jesus. That's what the resurrection means. That's what it means. It makes the difference. John 14, verse 6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can get to the God the Father except by means of me. Got the old English in my mind here. No one cometh to the Father except through me. And the Lord says, that's what it means, Larry. It means that you know me, so you're coming to be with me. Next, Jesus has the power he claimed to have. A lot of people came claiming power. They do today. Nobody will move me. When you start hearing that from humans, back away from them. You do not want to be around, for great shall be the fall thereof. Matthew 28, verse 18. All power in heaven and on earth is given to me. Jesus says that. Said, I got all power. And he kept proving it. So I'm going to tell you something that I can't back up. John 10, verse 18. No one takes my life from me. I listen to people all the time talk about, well, you know, one of these days, those Jews are really going to pay for it. The Romans are really going to pay for it. No, they're not. Jesus laid down his life. They didn't have that authority. They couldn't take his life. It's the sin in our life that took it. He died because he loves us. He died because he cares. And he says, I will do what I told you I would do. Name one time the Lord's given you a promise that he hadn't kept. Well, don't think very long on the ones that you've made to him that you haven't kept. Well, the Lord forgive me for that one, so I'm not thinking about it anymore. That's how I'll get around them. But the Lord says, don't worry, I got you. Jesus does what he promises he will do. Okay? Listen to Mark 10:34. They will mock and flog and kill me, but after 3 days I'll come back to life again. That's pretty tough, huh? What a statement. A lot of prophets had made, the false prophets had made statements similar to that. But God says, I am who I claim to be. And you know, I claim you and you and you. If the Lord claims me and I belong to Him, what do I have to fear of the world? You see, I don't really have to fear myself even, because I've given myself to Christ and He took me knowing my faults and failures and knowing what I'll do tomorrow. But He loves me anyway. And in that love, He says, I care so much. Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6. Said, went to the tomb to find Jesus. Said, the angel said to them, don't be frightened. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but He isn't here. He has come back to life again just as He said He would. He did what He claimed He would do. He claimed that He's going to take me with Him to be with Him. You see, I know that claim is true because I can't do it on my own. All the education you can get, folks, will never help you get to heaven. There's one name. His name is Jesus. And I have to humble myself as a little child to come in His presence, but then to go out and speak with the power of God. Then that next question was, why does the resurrection matter? It's because my past can be forgiven. And let me add to that, my past can be forgiven, so can my future. Don't you understand? No, you're not so good that you're not going to sin. Now, you don't have to wait till tomorrow. You're worried to death right now about what you're going to eat for lunch. I mean, that's going to happen, folks. We are battling the reality living, the life of this world. And we need to get real with it and deal with it. And the Lord says, I got it covered for you, Colossians 3:14. He has forgiven all our sins and canceled every record of the debt we owed. Christ has done away with it by nailing it to the cross. So what's our problem? I have the freedom to worship, the freedom to preach, the freedom. And even though Satan says, I will kill you, I read the book. He doesn't have the authority to do that. I read the book. I don't even know who wins. As I've told the congregation for years, listen, folks, you know how I read books? I read the last chapter first. I really do. I want to know how it ends before I waste my time with all the rest in from the beginning up through there. I'm not going to waste my time with this. Read the book of Revelation. Jesus wins. So now I get excited about reading all the rest of it. And the Lord says, I want you to know if I'm a winner, so are you. You're a winner. There's not a losing bone in your body. You're a winner in Christ. Romans 8, verse 1. Now there is no condemnation awaiting those who belong to Christ. I said yes to Jesus. I can never be condemned. That's what the cross was all about. That's what the outpouring of His Holy Spirit is all about. Protecting us. Being with us. Forgiving us. Lifting us up. Pulling us together. Letting us see His love through power. Said, Larry, you don't have to be phony. You don't have to preach like anybody else preaches. But you do have to preach like I tell you to preach. Be you. Be who you are. And in the process, others will see Jesus in you. Next, my present problems can be managed. That's why the resurrection matters. Any of you don't have present problems? I'll get your funeral ready. God, if you're alive, you got problems. And if you really don't have any problems out there in your mind, you'll make up some. You'll think you do. Oh, you know, I felt good for so long, surely to goodness I'm going to be down and sick tomorrow. That's the way we think in this generation. But the Lord says, I can manage your present problems, but talk to me about them. Ephesians 1:2, how incredibly great is His power to help those who believe Him. The same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. That's a lot of power to raise someone from the dead. And He said, I want you to know that that power is yours because you believe me. So if I can raise my son from the dead, do you not believe that I can lift you up above all those problems? They're nothing to me. And you're everything to me. You're my child. You don't mess with somebody's child. You want to discipline your child? You discipline your child. You don't mess with the neighbor's child. The Lord said, they won't mess with you when you call on my name. You think Jesus ain't going to be there for you? He's already there. You just need to recognize Him. Philippians 4:13. I am ready for anything through the strength of Christ who lives in me. Actually, it's that strength of Christ that is ready. I get weak sometime in the prison systems of the state. Many times I was afraid. I didn't tell anybody that. Many times I was afraid going into some of those cell blocks and what I did. But you know what? Jesus was never afraid. And He always brought me out. Sometimes I might not have looked too good, but He always brought me out. Because He says, when I call you to a ministry, you do my ministry. When He calls you to your life and to your vocation in life, you do that vocation, you do your life, but you do it through Him. There's your power and authority in the process. And last, my future can be secured. My future is secured. So I need to quit worrying about my future, because I got a lot of hurting folk down here right now. There's a lot of people that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's a lot of people that have never had anyone even say a good word to them, a word of love and understanding and forgiveness. So God called us. We're Jesus with skin. We're the body of Christ called the church, His church. And each one of us, when our own individual personalities will draw to us certain individuals of like personality or that can relate. All of us cannot relate to everybody, but all of us united together can relate to Christ and then to the world. John 17, verse 3. This is the way to have eternal life. Okay, you want to know how to have eternal life? Here it is. By knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ, the one He sent to earth. That's eternal life. No, you don't need to jump a pew. Please don't even try it around here. Or crawl under it or do anything else. You know what we need to do? Trust and obey. For there's no other way. There's victory. It's not on my performance. It's on Jesus' commitment of love. And He, through what He did, save the world. 1 Peter 1:3. We have been born again. Translated born again, born anew, born from above. Born again into a life full of hope. Through Christ, what? Rising from the dead. Listen, that cross would have meant nothing had the tomb conquered. But the tomb could not conquer because Jesus already controlled death. There was one last mission for Him, and that was to go on that cross. See, we look at it as the resurrection. You know, that was tough. Coming back, that was tough. That cross. That's why it's Hallelujah morning on Resurrection Sunday. You know, that's the praise of the Lord. We, as human beings, we had a hard time understanding this. Still do. How could Jesus, the Son of God, God incarnate Himself, He comes down, and He never sinned, But he takes my sin, your sin, each individual sin that we would ever commit, and each individual sin that anyone who is ever born would ever commit. That's what went to that cross with him. And folks, listen. He knew my name. He knew my name. Jesus don't forget. He still knows my name. Amen. I know that. Got to hear him fussing at me quite often. Larry Pete, I cannot believe you said that. But I forgive you. I love you. And your congregation understands you. We live reality living. It's a real world out here. And I deal with it with a real Savior, a real truth. And it just so happens He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. He's your way, my way. He's your life. He's my life. And see, I don't need to dress that up. That's as good looking as it gets, isn't it? Jesus is Lord. And He said, I love you. I'm in the Lord's army. But I've read the book, remember? I already know it wins. I already know it. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we praise Your holy name, give You thanks for life and for Your love, for Your truth, for the peace that only You can give us. We ask now, dear Lord, as You touch our life and we make those commitments to You, we will make them in spirit and in truth, as we will bring ourselves to You, and we will make our individual commitments to You. But Father, we'll depend on You to get us through them. Because we're weak, we're faltering, we're failing so often. But we know that You are not. Allow Your peace to be our peace, Your strength to be our strength, as You touch our life. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.